Somebody say, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen. He is great, and greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen. He is worthy of all of our praise. Amen. What a privilege it is. Amen. Just to give him praise. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Amen. He is worthy of our praise.
He's worthy.
In the midst of a,
he's worthy.
A
yes,
great
he is.
Time of praise and worship.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Without any further delay, amen. We're going to praise him another day. I like what my sister said. One more day. Amen. Amen. Another day to give him praise.
Yes, it is.
Amen. The good thing about that is when he decides that our time is done here, we'll praise him over there.
Amen.
Amen. We'll continue to praise. Amen. Let's move up a little higher. Amen. So we thank God. Those of you who have not been with us, just to bring you up to speed a little, we have been working our way through the epistle to the Romans. Amen. We like to systematically work our way through God's word. And I've been convicted that I should do that because Jesus said that I am to go into all the world and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So that to me, I have to be meticulous how I get the whole word out.
Right.
I'm not going to hit and miss and pop here and there and not know if I got you the whole word. Because when I see him, he's going to say, I told you to teach them to observe all things. Whatsoever I've commanded you. That's why we take time to teach about giving and some of the important things that the Lord teaches even along the way. So we have been working our way through Romans. We started in chapter 1 verse 1 years ago, and I have retained all those messages for those of you who were not with me and posted them online for the whole world to see. And that would include you. You can go online to teachingbible.net or teachingbible.org, and we have the other messages that you have not heard up to today are online. You can go there and hear them from anywhere with an internet connection, whether in space or on earth. I don't think many of us are going to be in space, but you know, and I said this before, folks thought I was crazy. Do you think, where is the earth? If I asked you where is the earth, you would probably not say in space. But it really is in space, isn't it? When you think through it, we're just, if we were on the moon or on Saturn, we'd be saying, oh, look over there, there's the earth over there. And since we're on earth, we call the rest of it space, but we're in space too. But anywhere you are, you can receive this word. That's my point. And if you can connect to the internet in many of your cell phones, you can go there and hear the balance of not only the book of Romans, but the book of Mark and a bunch of other books. I've been teaching for some time during my ministry, which started long ago, back in the 80s. And a lot of that is online, so that you can go there and hear it at any time from anywhere on earth. Amen. So having said that, this lesson is coming from the book of Romans in the 15th chapter. And we're going to have a reading from the Old Testament, from the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6, and also a few verses in Romans 15. We just got across that line out of the 14th chapter last week. And now we come to the first verses in chapter 15. Amen. And we're almost done. Romans only has 16 chapters, in case you were not aware of that. And so it might take us a while. I don't know when we'll finish, but I'm not in a rush.
Right.
I'm just on the path. Just stay on the path. Trust God where he has brought you right now. Realize that if you came in right now in the midst of the service, this message is for you. And it'll carry you on the next place God wants you to be. That's something I always love about God. He knows where you are. And he knows what you need. No matter who you are. And he knows how to get it to you. If you don't get it from here, it's going to come from somewhere else. You know, he will make sure you get what you need. Haven't you found him to be that way? I have found him to be that way. If there was anything I needed, it would either, I flick on the radio, bam, somebody's talking about the very thing I was wondering.
Yeah.
Or either somebody would be walking up the street, or I'd get see it on TV, or God knows, I had a dove land on my truck the other day. I said, okay, God, I'm listening. You know, the bird landed up there, and then he wouldn't get off. I said, he's going to take off when I get ready to leave. You know, so I backed the truck out, and turn around, look like, is this thing moving? And I said, yeah, it looked like it's moving. And I start driving on up the road. He sat up there, stopped at the stop sign. He kept sitting there. I made a left, went on down to the next stop sign. He was still sitting there, looking like, what's up here? You know, then I turned left again, went up to another stoplight. And then when I got out on the main road, he took off. I said, okay, I don't know what that was, but I'm waiting for the rest of the message. So I don't know what it was, but he sat there and he wouldn't get off the truck. He was sitting right on the hood. I said, okay, all right, God, I'm listening. I know you sent a dove in the days of Noah. So I don't know what that meant, but I'm going to remember it. And that's what I'm telling you. So anyway, in either case, let us go ahead without any further delay. And we'll take a look here. We're going to have the deacons read for us from Jeremiah chapter 6, from the King James translation, verses 10 to 19. And then just a few verses in Romans 15, the first 7. Amen. Give ear to the reading of the word.
To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is upon them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with his wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealt falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it.
Amen. The word of the Lord from the blessed word of God to the people of God. May God add a blessing to the reading of the old covenant. Now for a few verses from Romans 15.
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever thing were written aforetime were written for our hearing, our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God.
Amen, amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of the New Testament scripture. And we want to use just for a thought here today, living in the present on the learning of the past. Amen. Living in the present on the learning of the past. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we praise you and bless you. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word, oh God. You said that the Spirit would lead us and guide us to all truth. You said, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. And so, Father, with your word and with your Spirit, we pray today that you bless us all with understanding of something that you have to say to us individually and to this church corporately as a body of believers who are baptized in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for understanding. We ask for mercy and grace. And Father, we ask you to take us into your word so that we might leave away today with a new understanding about living in the present with the learning of the past. Father, we ask you to bless our minds and our understanding that this word would produce fruit to the praise of your glory, that it would make adjustments in our physical lives as we live here on earth. And Father, that we might do everything that gives praise and glory to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and nothing that diminishes from that. We ask this in the righteous name of Jesus Christ. To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we just want to look here. This is, as you know, in the past few lessons, we have been talking about, for example, last week, practicing favor for your neighbor. We talked about having a spiritual eye examination the week before, how we can examine the way we look at things and the way we view things. And before that, we talked about applying grace for building others' faith. How can we help other people in the body of Christ? And so these have been the subjects that Paul has taken up in the latter part of this epistle to the Romans. And now in chapter 15, he says, we then who are strong. In other words, people who are spiritually strong. Some of us, that would apply to us. We've been walking with the Lord for a while. We trust him. We have a resolute faith. We're kind of like Sister Julia this morning when I rose. I didn't have no doubt. You know, we got a tenacious faith. You know, we don't have any doubt about who Jesus is and how the gospel works, how it works in our life. We know that we want to share it with other people because we understand it is the power of God unto salvation that to everyone that believes. So we know a little bit about it. Somebody said, don't try to make me doubt it because I know too much about it. You know. And so that's how we feel. Some of us, we're pretty strong. There are others who may just have recently gotten saved. They may not understand and have that deep-seated conviction like you and I who have been walking with the Lord for a number of years. And so he says those of us who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now we learned back in chapter 8 verse 26 that we all have an infirmity, that none of us are perfectly arrived and do everything spiritually correct, but that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, you know, and he makes our prayer life perfect. We wonder sometimes about that. We want to pray, we want to have a closer relationship with God. Sometimes we get on our knees and we say our prayers, but we don't know exactly what to ask God for. The book of Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says the Holy Spirit covers you for that. He knows everything. You know who the Holy Spirit is? We said this morning in Sunday school, he is God. So God has blessed you with a foretaste of glory divine, the songwriter says, by filling you with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to fill up in your life that which is lacking. And you know what? That's a lot for all of us, even though we may be spiritually mature. There's some things we all lack. There's some areas where we can all be improved. So God has given you the Holy Spirit so that no matter what your lack is, he fills it up. He makes it perfect. By the time your prayer reaches the throne room of God, it's perfect. It's been filtered. It's been adjusted. The Holy Spirit has filled in that which was missing. He knows the deep things in your life that you don't even understand. There's some stuff about me. I found myself, maybe this is not going to speak for me because I don't know about you, but there's some things that you wonder, how can I be thinking like that?
Amen.
You know, you're going along through life and some situation comes up and you have some base thought that comes from out of your flesh somewhere. And you went, how can I be thinking like that?
Right.
You know, and the Holy Spirit knows why you're thinking like that.
Right.
And so when he takes your prayer to God, he knows just what to ask for. We don't know.
Right.
We've got some deep-seated issues sometimes in the back of our mind that sometimes stop us from being like we really want to be.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the good thing about coming to church. You can come here and be completely transparent. Everybody here has got the same problem you do.
Yeah.
You know, and we're blessed by the same blood of Jesus that covers us all from our sin, and so we're here to be truthful with one another. Now I'm saying that for us. I don't know, you can go somewhere and you might not be able to be truthful. You might have to put on your Sunday face and act like everything is all fine and pristine and say thank you God, hallelujah, I've got it all together. And you know, but in here we don't do that. We come in knowing that we're not perfect. We got issues and we want God to fix them, you know. And so we come here and we're truthful that, yeah, I got some stuff that I would not like to talk about. That's why we have our assistant sister on every third Saturday, and we have the Iron Man. So we can talk about issues and get some of this stuff on the table and help God with getting it out of our lives. And so those who are spiritually strong, even with that said, some of us have a better grip on how this works than others. And so we should think about the ones who are spiritually weak, newcomers that have just coming to the church. Doesn't make any difference how old you are. You can be a newcomer. Like Abraham got saved when he was 75. See? And he came into the church at the age of 75. He got introduced to God and then knew he was a savior. Even though his whole life he hadn't really had a proper relationship with him. So it makes no difference about your age. You could just have been born again last week. That's okay.
That's right.
But we're here to help you. We want you to know that. So he says that we ought to, those of us who have a better grip on what's going on, bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. They may irritate you with some of the things that they do because they don't know any better. But you're supposed to see that, understand it, bear up under it. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That's kind of the summary of the past few lessons that we've had. For even Christ pleased not himself. Now here's the comparative, but it is written, it says here, as the reproaches of them that reproach thee. In other words, all of us who had an issue with God fell on him.
Yes.
On Jesus. He came to bear all of our reproach. Reproach is something that you could be blamed for.
Right.
See, if there's something that I could be blamed for, whatever it was, Jesus said, I took it upon me. They fell on me. Why? Because he is the one who satisfies God for all of us.
Amen.
So the only reason you and I are clean and perfect in the sight of God is that all our reproaches fell on Christ.
Amen.
God sent him for that reason, to take all of the weight of all of our sin upon him. So he already knows we're whacked, as we say. He knew it already, right well, that we got issues. But I came to take the weight of all those issues so that you can accept them, Father. I'm paying their bill in full. It would be like somebody came to your door and said, round up all your bills, all your credit cards, everything you owe anybody, give it to me. I'm going to take it. And they went and wrote a check, bam. Paid for. It's all paid. Let them go. They're free.
Yeah.
See, but now we're talking about spiritual debt.
Right. Right.
Spiritual debt was paid entirely. All that you ever made in the past, all that you're involved in now, any that you might ever do in the history of your life, Jesus took it all upon himself and paid the bill entirely. That's what the gospel is about. It's not about me being, it's not that it doesn't excuse me to do wrong either, but let's say he came to pay the bill to settle my debt with God once and for all.
Yes.
So all the reproaches that fell upon them have fallen on me, Jesus said.
Yes.
For whatsoever things. Now this is the part we want to zoom in on today. So everybody has a clean slate, whether they've been walking with Christ 5 minutes or 50 years.
Right.
See that? So that's the thing we have to understand. So there's going to be some differences within the body, and we have to learn to bear those differences, because Christ is going to constantly be bringing people in to the kingdom, constantly.
Yeah.
Well, that's our duty, is to bring somebody in. We joyfully receive a person who wants to be saved.
Amen.
We give him equal status with people who've been saved for 20 years.
Amen.
Because God wants them all to be saved, whether they're little children or adults, no matter who they are. He gave his son so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. So you and I have to have a whosoever mindset. We don't want to reject anybody for any reason. Not because of financial situations or anything whatsoever. When they come, they may be penniless and not have a penny for the offering. That's okay. Come on in. If you trust Christ, we'll take you and we'll bear bear your reproaches until you get to the place. We know God's going to bless you when you walk in here. He's already blessed you because you didn't get judged for anything you did. And you were able to come, so we're here to receive you and give you love and bring you up and raise you up in the family of God. And so it doesn't make any difference where you start, because we know where God is taking you. Because we can look around here, some of us, we can say, hey, look where he bought me from.
Right.
He bought me, somebody said, from a mighty long way.
Mighty long
way. And I'm getting a little better. I'm a little better than I was yesterday. And I plan to be better tomorrow because I know God is a blessing God. He's got my back. He's covering me on everything. He has led me, even when I wasn't thinking about him, he led me and brought me through and gave me salvation. You see? So I can extend that to someone else. You see, that's the whole idea. We have to have that kind of a mindset. And that's kind of the summary of those past few chapters. Now notice, this is where it comes from here. Verse 4. Romans 15 and 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that means before, were written for our learning. See that?
Yeah.
That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. See, the scriptures, looking back at the old covenant, we can see how God dealt with people throughout all of time. From the time he created Adam, clear on up till Malachi that we had read, that would be the Old Testament. Keep in mind, that's all the scripture that they had when Jesus came. The New Testament didn't exist yet.
Right.
The Apostle Paul actually hated the church at first, and he's the one who writes this.
Right.
So he understands full well that you can hate the church, Christ can save you, and now you learn how to love the church.
Right.
And the church had to learn how to accept him. This one that used to hate the church has now become a writer for God, writing scripture in the New Testament. This letter became a part of it. And so think about the radical example of the writer of this letter now saying you got to bear the reproaches of the weak. When he first came in, he thought, oh, these Christian people are the way. Oh, they got to go get rid of that. That's all messed up. You know, they're turning away from God's word and his law, and they're corrupting the truth. And he had all kinds of negative things to say because he didn't understand that Christ Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen.
You see? And so he himself understands this text that we have here. He says all that stuff that was written before, he's referring to the Old Testament here in verse 4 of chapter 15. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, you know what's interesting? We had a lesson a week or so ago about the Holy Spirit, and he was called the Comforter.
Yes.
The scriptures ought to be another comforter.
Amen.
For you. God didn't write all that for you to feel condemned.
Right.
He didn't write that so you could feel bad.
Right.
He wrote it so you know there is hope for you, no matter who you are.
Yes.
No matter what you did. That's why there are stories about people who did all kinds of things. You read the Old Testament, there's all kinds of stories about people, and they weren't perfect.
Right.
You read about people like David and his battle with Goliath. You read about David and multiple wives. He had family problems and issues with multiple children. He had incest in his family. He had all kinds of stuff. You go, boy, this is a whack family here. Sounds just like the one that lives next door to me. You know? And maybe even my own. You see? And you look there. So he wrote that down so you can see that people have been having some jacked up situations for a long time, and God has been there with them. And he brought them through. Read anybody. Read Ruth. The book of Ruth. You can read all these stories in the Old Testament, and you find out people have never been, if they didn't have God, they'd be a mess, wouldn't they?
Right.
You know, and so that's what the scriptures were written for. So you can read the story of all these people and all their issues in the Old Testament and see, hey, there's hope for me and my family.
Right.
We can get right with God.
Right.
Because God will accept us, because people have always been going through changes and issues.
Right.
And so that's why it's there. And it's not to condemn you. You see all kinds of stuff about people falling by the wayside and all that. It's not to condemn you, it's to let you see that no matter how far away you are, God loves you and he can bring you in. He wants to bless you. He's given his son for you already. We look back in history, it's 2015 years since Christ was born. And we always talk about that. I've had a conversation with people about it all the time. Your calendar is telling you the Son of God came into the world 2015 years ago. Why did he come? He came to be crucified on the Roman cross to pay the debt for your sin and my sin. See, he came to prove that death, even death, that's the worst thing that can happen. Think about this. We got to stop here and put a pin in here for a minute. Death really wrecks you, doesn't it? When somebody dies, have you ever been through anything worse? The people you love go to the grave. That's awful. It's the worst thing we ever experienced to me in life. So Jesus, when he came to show you death in the grave, I got that covered. You know why? Because I came in, paid your sin debt, went in that same grave, stayed in there 3 days and nights, got up, all power is given to me. So he gives you another perspective, even on death. You know, I started thinking about, I've been trying to figure out death ever since I was a little kid. I remember when I was a kid, it was like, oh, somebody died. What does that mean? And I didn't quite get it. And then I went to the funeral, saw the casket. Okay, I kind of somewhat understand. But you really don't get it. It's hard to wrap your mind around how that is. But think about what Jesus did. What he did was he came to show you that even death, that later on when I got older, it started to break my heart even more when I realized what it is. You know, but it takes you time to learn what it is in life. You don't get it when you're a little kid. You want to rather go play and shoot marbles and act, you know, play games. You don't quite get that. Everybody's upset and crying and all that, but I don't really get it. Then later on, you start to get it. And then when you get a little older, you get it even more. But it shouldn't be. This is the thing I want you to leave. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to comfort you. I want you to know when Jesus was crucified, he was perfectly healthy. He was in perfect health, a viral young man. See, with nothing wrong with his body whatsoever. And he came for the sole purpose of being humiliated. The shame and the degradation that he took was enough to kill you almost. I mean, you would die from embarrassment if somebody stripped your clothes off and got to beating you like a fool while you're walking down the middle of a street with people jeering on both sides of the road, hollering, "Crucify him!" And amen. And they were evil because he hadn't done anything to anybody. That's enough to kill you, the disgrace and the shame of it, not to mention the actual pain and the flogging and the beating and the crown of thorns and spitting on you and ripping out your beard and beating you with your own a reed that you had in your hand. All the stuff they did, disgusting, humiliating. And he could take all that and not backlash in anger. See, so you know he couldn't be anyone less than God. Only God could do that. Take the punishment that he took from people who are actually guilty. I should be throwing all of you in hell.
Yeah.
But I'm letting you beat me and spit on me because I know how whacked you really are. And I'm doing this because if I don't, my Father will not be satisfied. So I'm taking it for you. See, and I'm loving you. I'm saying, Father, forgive them, praying for you in the middle of it. But they don't even know what they're doing. That's how bad off they are. They have no idea what they're doing. And I'm praying from the cross. I could be saying, Father, burn them up. They deserve it. But no, I said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. They're blind in their spiritual darkness. Their mind is so dark, they're taking your son. This is the worst case of child abuse that history has ever recorded. Abusing the Son of God, perfect, without a flaw, without a spot, without a blemish, without a wrinkle, holy in every regard. And he took all that for me and you. Now, why did he do it? Because he was showing them that you really can't do anything to kill me. They tried everything they could. All that should have killed you. The embarrassment would have been enough to kill some of us. We would just had a heart attack and died. From the way I'm so shamed and disgraceful the way you did me. Stripped my clothes off like that. Pushed me down the middle of Main Street. And you beat me and flogging me and spitting on me, talking about me like a dog. Got two thieves over here. You've numbered me with some folks who really deserve it. They really have hurt you bad. But you beat me more than you are them. See what I'm saying? All of that he took it. That's why it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews says there, fix your eyes on Jesus. God says, get a good picture of my son. Fix your eyes on him. Don't look anywhere else. Look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He hated it and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What does that mean? That means he defeated death. He defeated the grave. After they had done all that, he was still alive. And he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God forsook him also while he was on the cross. To show you that not even being forsaken by God will take my life. Why? Because I haven't done anything wrong. I'm living in total perfection, although it doesn't look like it. See, and then he says, it is finished. He fulfilled everything that had been written. And this thing that says, for whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God wants you to have hope. He wants you to trust him no matter what you're going through. You haven't been through anything like this at all. Compare yourself to Jesus. Your problems will go away. You quit worrying about it. Oh, I got a $200 electric bill. Well, that's gone when I think about Jesus.
Yeah.
Or whatever your problem is, it pales by comparison to what he went through. Not only that, but after they did everything they could do, he should have died of an infection or bled to death. By the time all this stuff happened to him, he was still up there with a loud voice and said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Y'all can't even kill me. I got to dismiss my spirit out of my body so I can save you. See? And so he commanded his own spirit to leave out of his body. And then he gave up the ghost, the Bible says. In other words, he died. His death was orchestrated by prophecy and by the scripture and by obedience to God. And so he gave his life. When the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That ought to be comforting to you. He did that for you so you can know for sure I'm saved. Why? Because God the Son endured the cross for me. Died up there for me. He was taken down and laid in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and nights for me. See, and all of this is written in the scriptures, in the law and the prophets. And so Paul gets it now. He's not persecuting the church. Now he's ministering to the church. And he says here, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. That's verse 5. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See that?
Yeah.
Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. See that?
Yeah.
So that's the way we have to be toward one another. Romans 15, 1 through 7. Now I want you to see that it's due to the fallen nature of people that we have always had a tendency to follow the consensus of the multitude, whether it was right or wrong. When whatever the majority of people do, that's what we want to do. We chime right in. And people start wearing bell bottoms. Next thing you know, everybody in the world has got bell bottoms on. Or people start getting tattoos. Next thing you know, everybody's getting tattoos. Or whatever it is, name something. People just follow what everybody else does most of the time. Not everybody, but the majority of people do what the trend is. What's trendy? Okay, what's in fashion now? Okay, stole pipe leg pants. I'm going to get me some stole pipe leg pants because everybody else got them. I'm going to let my pants hang down halfway to my butt because everybody else is doing it. These are trends, things that people do. And they follow it because everybody's doing it. You ain't in style, man, if you ain't doing what everybody else does. Or whatever it is, name something. I'm not trying to pick on anybody this morning. I'm just saying, people are trend driven. That's why they sell stuff in fashions and things, because they find out what people are buying. Okay, we're going to put that everywhere, all over the TV, on the billboards, and everybody's going to be buying it and we're going to make millions. I couldn't help but mention this. I mentioned this yesterday at the Iron Man meeting. I was riding up the highway, see a big old Egg McMuffin. I said, man, look at that big old juicy Egg McMuffin. And then over here it says, love thy neighbor. Buy them an Egg McMuffin. I said, oh, I see. So you're going to come like that. Huh? Love thy neighbor. And it's a big old Egg McMuffin sitting up there. I said, you have got to be kidding me. I thought y'all didn't believe in God. But you want to make that dollar. That's the whole thing. So love thy neighbor. Buy him an Egg McMuffin. I said, oh, I see. Oh, that laid me out. I can't believe it. But they'll do whatever sells. So if you buy an Egg McMuffin, yeah, I'll take one. That's what they're saying. Just get one for your neighbor. And that's a good ploy. It's an advertising scam. And so people follow the big thing, whatever it is that's going on. You see, and they want to get on board with whatever it is. Unless it's a good thing, a lot of times we don't want to do that. So regardless of what God has said, they don't care what God said. What is everybody doing? We all got Jordans on. We're going to wear these Jordans or Nikes or whatever it is that's floating the boat. How much are they? $479.25. Well, we don't care. I got to get a pair. And that's how we do. We get on board with all that kind of thing. And so we have to be careful to look at what God said. That's why Paul says, whatsoever things were written aforetime. Now, what's interesting? I said this too yesterday at the meeting. Everything that's in here has been in here ever since I've been in the world.
Amen.
See, the day before my birth, that was already completed.
Amen.
It's probably true of you. Nothing has been added to it since. I spent a good portion of my life having no idea what was in there. Amen. You know, and one day I heard this gospel that I'm sharing with you this morning. I said, boy, you know, I need that. If that's true, I really need it. I need to be saved.
Amen.
Otherwise, I'm going to be condemned, because God says he's only accepting those who accept my son.
Amen.
He gave his son for me. I got that. I understood that. So then I started getting into here and wanted to know, what did he say? Trying to find out. And I found out a lot of what he said is contrary to a lot of what I already knew. Stuff I was doing. Found out stuff I'm doing is whacked. I got to stop that.
Amen.
You know, and he convicted me slowly. And I'm sure when I first came into church, people thought, boy, this is a weirdo here. You know, coming in here the way he is. You know, because I didn't know what kind of stuff people were. And I came in, whatever, however I was, that's the way I was. They accepted me. They loved on me. Next thing you know, I felt God calling me to preach eventually as time went by. And so it builds. Your life starts to build. Your closeness to God builds. Your relationship with God builds. And he starts directing you. That's why the lesson we had this morning said the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to all truth. So you come in just like you are. It doesn't make any difference how you are. He loves you. And you'll start learning what he said. And then you'll start comparing it to what the world is doing. And what kind of things do I need to change? And how can I be better for God? I don't judge people. Now, you learn that, even about judgment. We have a tendency to misjudge other people. That's what the whole other lesson had been about. So I want you to see that we want to learn to adjust ourselves. God's going to adjust you. He knows what you need. He knows better than me. You know what? This is one thing I have to say. I have no idea what some of you need. Sometimes I do. You come tell me something. Oh, I've been through that. I can tell you about that. But otherwise, I may not know everything. I'm not called to know everything. I try to study the Word so I can have a good answer for you from the Word. But you know what? God knows everything. And he knows you. And he knows me. He called me to be your pastor so I can teach you some stuff that he already taught me. And I'll do that. I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to share that with you along with all the rest of the staff here at the church. We want you to know. We want you to grow. We want you to know that you're cared for, that you're loved, just like you are. And if you got issues, we understand that. We have some too. We've been out of a lot of them. God has brought us out of a lot of junk. And we're better than we used to be. We're still not perfect. But we're on the battlefield, as we say. We sing that song, on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm not going to start singing it. But in either case, we're moving forward. I got a song like that I want to share with you too one day. So our increase in understanding is derived from our study and fellowship in God's Word. It must become the catalyst for our faith. In other words, it gives us more faith for our planning, how we plan what we're going to do from now on, and for our practice, the things we do every day in every area of life as we continue expanding. Notice this, our outreach and inreach within the church.
Yeah.
I put that word inreach in. Microsoft said, that's not a word. Put a little ugly line under it. But I'm going to talk about inreach. How do we reach in to the people in the church? And not only outreach, we're reaching out, but we're also reaching in. So I don't know if anybody ever coined that word, but there it is on your paper. Within the church, especially within our families and our personal relationships in life, we have to learn how to get these things and weave it into the fabric of our families. You know, there's a lot, probably, I don't have to probably say this, I think we can all look around, we know there's some people in our family who need some help. You know, and we need to learn how to build a bridge and reach over there and help them get where they need to be. That's what the church is for. We understand no matter what you're going through, you haven't been through anything that I'm shocked by. You know, people say, well, I didn't tell you, I thought you'd be disappointed in me. No, I'm not disappointed. I understand entirely what kind of stuff you're dealing with. Been through quite a bit of it myself. And so I want you to see this. Just a quick look at this. Our time's almost gone. In Jeremiah, this is what happened to the people of God. Here's only one example. Chapter 6. He says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? God always warns us.
Yes,
warning is a good thing. He could just judge me. Why warn me? Just shoot. Just strike me with lightning. If I was God, I'd probably be striking folks with lightning. Oh, you're going to do that? Okay, boom. Boom. That's why I'm not God. Because I'd probably be striking folk with lightning. Oh, you're going to do that? Okay, bam. I'll blow you right off the corner. You know, but that's the kind of way we think with a fallen mind.
Right.
You know, and I think some dude made a thing. I almost bought one. You put it on your dashboard. It's got a machine gun here and a, and a shotgun here. You just press it and it makes noises. So you can shoot at folks on the street when you're going down the street. Get in my way. You know, we like that kind of stuff. You know, we want to take revenge on somebody. It's just a little box that makes noise. It's not a real thing. You know, but I mean, people think that way. We think, hey, I'm going to get you. But God doesn't think that way. He loves you. And he's peaceful. You know, he puts up with all your hogwash. And whatever it is you're going through, you know. And we wouldn't think we want one. A lot of people say, oh, I wouldn't want one of those. Okay. I wouldn't either, but I did think about it for a minute, I'm going to have to say. But just for fun, you know, okay, that way I have something to take my revenge out on. We hear all this talk about road rage and all that. But in either case, people get where they don't listen to the Lord. That's what Jeremiah is talking about here. He says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may be here? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. That's God's way of saying that circumcision has to do with your heart, not so much with your physical flesh. Your ear needs to be circumcised so you can hear. Cut away the flesh and what the world thinks and listen to me. Take my word. See that? And then he says that they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They see it the wrong way. They think I'm trying to criticize them. And they have no delight in it. How many people you heard, eh, the Bible just is a bunch of condemnation. No, it's not. God loves you. He doesn't have to warn you. But he'd like to warn you so he can turn around. So he can bless you. And he can keep you. Now notice this. He says, therefore I am full of fury, the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding it in. This is the prophet speaking. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with them, him that is full of days. This was right before the captivity. They went into captivity because God was chastising them, you see, for being out of fellowship with his word.
Yeah.
And he didn't strike them in judgment. He allowed them to be taken in the captivity, which is somewhat merciful. And their houses shall be turned unto others. This actually happened with their fields and their wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. See that? And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Like we talked about that. If the government is corrupted, and the church is corrupted, teaching you corrupted things, how are the people ever going to get right? Somebody needs to have a civil voice to tell you what God said.
Amen.
So you can understand what's right.
Amen.
Need somebody to stand up for the truth.
Amen.
But he said here the prophet and the priest were corrupted. See that? And so that was the government, if you will, of Israel, and they were out of whack. He says, they have healed the hurt of my the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They're telling you there's peace, but they haven't taught you the truth of what thus saith the Lord. Were they ashamed when they had committed this abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. They weren't, they had lost even the fact that they could feel conviction because they didn't teach God's word anymore. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time when I shall visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Now this is what he says to you who are listening. Stand ye in the ways and see.
Yeah.
And ask of the old paths. Go back to what God already said and what you know is true.
Amen.
Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in therein. See, that's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Therefore, hear ye nations. Now he's talking to the Gentiles. And know, O congregation, what is among them. And hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So God wants us to stay in the word, stay in the book, be a peaceful people, share his comfort and his mercy with others. God's love is displayed as he gives the story of his unfailing love of the sons of Israel in spite of their repeated evil practices, their rebellions, their disregard for his word, and even more, his own son, Jesus Christ, to whom they shall return in the latter days. In the latter days, Israel will return to Jesus Christ. And so God is still holding on to them, even though they have rejected him and put him completely out of their mind. The nation of Israel, as a people right now have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the word says that they will be restored in the latter days. That's why they're still there, even though they're the tiniest nation on earth. God is keeping them because he has promises that he intends to fulfill to Abraham. You might wonder, how can a little speck of real estate like that upset the whole world like it does? The fact is, God is going to keep his word. And right now the message is going out to the Gentiles. That's anyone else who is not an Israelite. That includes you. If you're here today and you want to accept God's unfailing love, you may come at this time. We thank God for you. We give you the opportunity to come. I'm going to go ahead and ask Brother Larry to set a chair out there. And we thank God for returning members who have returned. Want to say thank God for them. But if you're here today and you'd like to be a member and fellowship with us, we invite you to come. At this time, you can come just as you are. Amen. The scripture says that those who come will receive the grace of God. Amen. God's grace is that unmerited favor that he gives to those who put their trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if you're here today and you'd like to unite with us as family, we are here to receive you. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. Come right now if you are needing membership, or if you are, even if you're not saved, you may come at this time. But we want to invite those who would like to be members of our family to come and show that just by coming forward right now. Amen. We give you this opportunity. Amen. Come, come to Jesus while you have time. Come, come to Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come, come to Jesus while you have time. Come, come to Jesus while you have time. Oh, won't you come, come, come to Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come, come to Jesus while you have time.
Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.
Amen. We thank you for your participation and understanding and listening, and we pray you got a good word today from what the Lord had to say. Amen. I want to remind you that we are planning to be at the Unity Chapel. I think that service is at 4:30, and that is located at 5250 Thecla, which is at Thecla and Union, which is maybe two or three blocks north of Interstate 70. And you are welcome to come. We'd like to see as many of you there as possible. Amen. To celebrate the church anniversary. I forget which one is it for them. I think it's 68 years or something like that, seemed to me. It's a good long time. In either case, Bishop Irving was here with us on our initiation service. And so we'd like to go over and fellowship with them for this occasion.
Amen.
They are wonderful people, and we thank God for them. So just to fellowship, this kind of extending our circle of churches. Of course, next week we're going to be with Reverend Piggies over at West Travelers, which is like just a block before that, actually, and down a little closer to King's Highway. And so we want to have you pencil that in if you're able to make it. And are there any, well, just let me take a minute before we, I think Sister Kelsey.
I just wanted to say, Sister Julie didn't announce the meeting of the Ushers Down the Church.
Hey, man.
We're going to go to Ponderosa
Fellowship on the Rock Road. Oh, okay. That's Ponderosa on the Rock Road. All right.
Amen.
Amen. We do thank Brother Douglas for helping out, as he's always willing to do. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. Brother Perry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before you close, I'm going to have another small operation tomorrow.
Okay.
And I wanted you to pray for me.
Amen. All right.
Yes.
All right, we will do that. We'll do it right now, as a matter of fact.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Let's have a brief word of prayer. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for all that our ears have heard. Father, thank you for every visitor that's here. Thank you for all the members who are here, Father, and we just thank you for every home and family that's represented here. Thank you for the spirit that you have given us in this place, Father, and we just thank you for Brother Perry, our deacon, and Lord, we know you know everything he's got to deal with, Lord. And so we lift him up specially right now, God, that you would bless him, oh God, give him that continue that good spirit that he has, Father, and bless the doctors, the hospital, the medicine, everywhere where he has to go, touch everything that has to do with his life, God. Bless his family, oh God, his friends, and everything, God, and provide exactly what he needs that he might get that good report, Lord. We bless you, we thank you, we give you praise, and we ask this all in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any other comments, questions, anything at all before we make preparation to dismiss? Amen. Any visitors like to have any words or anything before we dismiss? Amen.
Pastor, I really don't consider myself a visitor, although I'm not joined back to church yet, but I always feel welcome when I can come home from where I left.
Amen.
Yes. I feel good. And I want to thank you for such a beautiful service.
Amen.
And to all the members, and God bless and ever keep you. Keep it on. Because truly, you have a spiritual, mind-filled minister who is teaching the word.
Amen.
I thank my sister for that. We hope you will come back. We're expecting to have you here. Amen. Amen. So you don't have to wait. We can take you anytime. But we're content that you have come to visit again. Okay, my brother.
I like to say I enjoy myself.
Amen.
I'm from the Greater Paradise.
Amen.
River Tyler.
Oh, okay.
And I really
Amen.
Enjoy. I'm right by here all the time, so I will be coming back.
Amen, amen. We thank God for you. Amen. Amen. We do thank God for all our visitors and even members that are still just returning to visit. Amen. Amen. We thank God. We know that, and as I told these brothers here, Pastor Hamilton was a great mentor. He was my teacher back in the days, and I still remember what he taught me. Amen. And I know he'll be delighted. If he knew right now what was going on, he would be delighted, because he and I had a very good relationship. Amen. So he encouraged me to do a lot of things. He was actually over in charge of my ordination back in those days. So I thank God for everything he did in my life. And also, Pastor Bartlett was a student. We were fellow students at the time under Hamilton. And Hamilton actually was a very, very good leader and teacher. I hope that I can have just a fraction of the kind of legacy that he had, because he's really impressed me in a lot of ways. Amen. But having said that, let us stand if there are no further comments and all minds are clear. And receive the benediction. Father God, we bless you, praise you. We thank you for everything that we've heard today, Father. We ask that you take your spirit and operate in us, God, and help every word that we heard that will help us to just become so. And Father, we know that's how you do it, by your word and by your spirit. So bless us, oh God, as we go down from this place. We ask that you send grace ahead of us over the unity, that they might be prepared already, oh God. Let that rushing mighty wind of your grace just come through and anoint the house, that when we go, that the Spirit will move and they will be blessed, oh God. And we thank you for their fellowship and their friendship. Father, bless us as we separate one from another, and as we go down from this place and travel to our various destinations. Let the words of our mouths and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. We ask it all in the perfect name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. And let all the saints say together, Amen. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place. Yes, you can. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place. Yes, you can. Reach out.